Welcome to Wizard Team, a Harry Potter cast for true Potterheads. Each week we discuss a chapter from the series with all of our knowledge of the Wizarding World. Be warned that this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. I'm Robin.
And I'm Bayana. We were really excited to go chapter by chapter and discuss all of our thoughts and feelings about the original book series, but that's over now. Today we are discussing scenes 96 through 98 of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
We have some announcements and reminders. This is an interactive podcast, so we want to know your thoughts. Please feel free to tweet along with us. Use the hashtag WizardTeam on Twitter to join the conversation. Just because y'all don't like what we're reading and what we're suffering through does not mean that you're excused from this narrative. We all in this shit together. So yeah.
Yikes. love our blog. Love WizardTeam. Have a few extra galleons. I'm going to pause. I'm going to do that over because we've been saying love our blog for hella long and we do more things. Love our website? Love Wizard Team? Have a few extra galleons lying around? Support Black Girls Create. Check out our Patronus perks or send us a cheering charm at blackgirlscreate.org/support.
We also have Black Girls Create merch, so head over to our website and step up your nerd fashion and stationery game.
And if you want to support us but don't have the funds to do so, rate and review us on iTunes.
Also subscribe to Black Witches Weekly, our newsletter curated by Wizard Babe Deborah with nerd news and links to what's been going on. So if you want to be in the know, be sure to subscribe. Go to blackgirlscreate.org.
And now for Wizard Team News. This month's creator is illustrator and comic artist and creator Geneva Bowers, so you can learn more about her and her work on our website and then go buy all of her stuff, as I have been doing. Yes. And like I've actually was really proud of myself and made myself not buy things from her just because I had like just done it like 2 weeks ago, so I put a pause on the cart, but the cart is still
the cart
full. I just didn't press buy yet, but I will soon. So I'm just trying to exercise some restraint is all. Yeah.
Stagger your purchases.
Yeah.
To coincide with, like, you know, your bank account.
Yep.
And its needs.
That.
Your
that
income
exactly.
And outgo.
So, like, you know, buy her things responsibly, but buy them.
But buy them. We will be at Camp GLA July 17th through the 19th.
That's, like, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Friday, but, like, it's in, like, a couple days.
Yeah, so soon.
Yeah.
We'll be at the Harry Potter Alliance's Camp GLA. The Granger Leadership Academy is the premier event where fans, creators, and organizers and academics come together to create a powerful force for good. Come hang out with us and other fan activists virtually. You can register at bit.ly/CampGLA. We'll be doing some really cool, we have two pieces of content for Camp GLA. But also, like, a ton of other people are doing cool things. Nicole from Black TARDIS is going to be doing something awesome at Camp GLA, so check it out. We also have, if you need help with tickets,
let us know,
and we can help out there.
Yeah. We will also be at Harry Potter and the Sacred Text Summer Camp at the end of July, so you can check out that schedule at Harry Potter Sacred Text, I believe, is the thing, .com, but also if you, like, Google them, their website will pop up. They got good SEO. But yeah, so we have a live Wizard Team happening, and then we're going to do a panel with some of our homies about, like, being fans and creators and stuff. So that'll also be cool.
Yeah.
No magical birthdays this week, which is, like, the one break, and then it's going to go back to just being, like,
Cancer season. Y'all are always like, it's Virgos, it's whatever. Cancer
we have specific, like, Aries, I think it's just, like, April, really, is what it is. It's, like, April, and then, like, Cancers, Leos,
the
Virgos,
summer.
But the thing is, like, Virgos has the longest, they have the most amount of, like, weeks or amount of, like, time.
Oh.
It's weird. Like, I remember weird. I like, found that out, I don't know, I was, like,
it's 52 weeks of the year, so shouldn't it just be
It's not equal. Scorpios have, like, a week or something. Maybe not a week, but, like, something small like that. I think they're the shortest, and then Virgos are the...
Oppression. That's crazy.
I mean, I don't know. Was that our tangent? That could be our
tangent. No, I have a quick tangent. Very quick. Okay. So, I was in San Diego for a little bit, and then I drove down there, and then I drove up, and it's summertime, and, like, I am tan in a way that is interesting to me because, like, yay, color, right? But then, like, the freaking flip-flop tan line, you know? But yeah. I also have a permanent Tom's tan line. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, a flip-flop overlapping Tom tan line issue going on. And I was driving home, especially from San Diego to the Bay, it's like a 10-hour drive because I have a dog too. I got burned, and then I got these heat blisters on my arm, which will end up then being tan issues that I have to deal with. And it's like we glorify being sun-kissed or whatever, but like also, how dare, you know?
Yeah, tan lines. It's hard to get an even.
It's like impossible. And then because I like, when I tan, I burn. I just burn. Mm. And then, so it's like, I look good for a second, and then the peeling happens.
Right.
And then the tan lines are forever. I remember one time I went to Warped Tour, and they were doing this thing with like the skate brand Sessions where if they you let them spray paint their logo on you, you could get free stuff, right?
Yes.
So I got Sessions spray painted on my arm, and for the rest of the summer, I'm talking like 3 fucking months, I had a tan line that you could clearly read out Sessions. And I was like, I got like a free shirt. I don't even remember what I got. I got something free for doing it. And then I ended up as a walking billboard for the skate company for 3 months. And I am just like,
yikes,
annoyed. And that is my tangent.
It's, meanwhile, you
know, respect the sun.
I haven't really gone outside.
Because it's hot as hell.
In months. It's hot as hell. But like, it's annoying because I actually like quarantine. Summer is great because I'm like, that's when like I get my color. Meanwhile, I'm like, my dad, who because he has a backyard and a garden and, like, he has grass, so the sun, even if it's hot, doesn't, like, cook him in the same way that it does in our backyard. He had the nerve to try to put his arm by mine. I was like, yo, relax. Be cool.
I will say that the first thing that was said to me when I walked in the house by your mom and your sister was, ooh, look at you with your color. And I was like, did I look like a damn vampire before? What's going on?
You did.
How dare. I did not.
I mean,
so that was my tangent.
Related.
Hmm.
The human body is a scam. I don't really necessarily need to go much further than that. It just is. And the fact that I am sitting here with you all today is a goddamn miracle. It is a feat of my, like, what is, like, it's like in, Naruto. Robin has no idea what I'm talking about. But in Naruto, during the Chunin exams...
Is it like how they just all are always about to... They should be dead?
Yes, but it's in the Chunin exams. They did like a preliminary thing before the third task. Or the third test. And Rock Lee gets like his arm and his leg crushed. And is like unconscious. But he's still able to like pull himself up just through like his own willpower and like commitment to his... to his, like, ninja way and, like, his, you know, his goals and his dreams or whatever. That's how I'm coming to you today. I'd just like you all to know. I'll probably be better soon, I hope. But shit's a scam, and I hate it. And once somebody figures out how to, like dematerialization, I really, really want to learn how to do that shit. Like, I want... That's
you
like,
want to consciously ask, uncouple from
like,
your body?
Yes, like, when people ask, like,
take my
how, like, what, you know, and they talk about, like, superpowers, like, mm-hmm. What would you want your superpower to be? And, like, as time goes on, I'm just, like, it was not, for me, it was, like, oh, I guess I'll just choose, like, mind reading or, like, invisibility just because those are easy, but at this point, it's fucking, like, I want to be able to just... not have to like be in my body. I'd like to live. I'd like to have moments where I can become like corporeal so that I can do the things I love to do, but like at the same time.
You would like to be a founder like Commander Goo in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which you have not seen, but you should because there's also time travel in there.
In my head, I think of Danny Phantom.
Mm. Speaking
like,
of
I'm
bodies,
going ghost. I want to be able to go ghost.
Leave the body behind. Let's just do this so that we don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Because also my food's coming. Because I'm still celebrating my birthday like 5 days later and I'm here for it. When all of my birthday gifts are surrounded around food.
It's true.
Fuck yeah.
So, previously on Wizard Team?
previously on Wither Team, a lot happened, but nothing happened. Welcome to Crimes of Grindelwald. Tina and Newt broke into the French Ministry of Magic, the Department de Ministères, the whatever the fuck. It has 18 different names because she couldn't settle on one. Jacob met Nicholas Flamel, and they talked a little bit, comma dipped, and then Jacob saw Queenie, his love, his whatever, in the crystal ball.
No, that's what episode before.
And then went out. Well, no, because then they left.
No, because we did that in the last previously. Okay. This is you're on the episode before last.
So Jacob and Nicholas Flamel are going to the cemetery.
Nope, just Jacob.
Jacob's going to the cemetery. Meanwhile, Tina and Newt are going to the French Ministry of Magic. Newt decides to take some DNA from his coat, which could have been anything, but thank the stars was actually his brother's DNA. Polyjuiced himself into his brother, who is British, to break into the French ministry, mm-hmm. because it makes sense. And all of the auras we encountered were British, even though we are in France. Took the Polyjuice potion, immediately saw his brother, immediately started getting chased by his brother.
This is dumb. He immediately gets caught by his brother, so his brother is running after them, and then, so now Newt, and then it runs out. Like, the Polyjuice potion does not actually,
it lasts, like, 10 minutes. It lasts,
like, 2 seconds, and then they're running away, and then Tina poses as Lita, and Newt is her fiancé, and then in that, like, what's it called? In that, cover, it brings up some things that have been brewing beneath the surface of their relationship and their interactions since they met, or something. So
I can't scoff anymore.
It's just, it's like one of those things where, again, because it's so it's so contrived, and they're like, it's something that could be really easily fixed with a conversation, and like, it's about to be, and like, in what we're about to read, but like, it just is taking too long. It's something that's like really small, and something that honestly could have been fixed before the thing even started, and it wouldn't have to be all this. But she was trying to add a little angst, though we all know that she cannot do romance in any form. So there's that. Anyway, that's where we leave off, is them being let into the, records office and kind of like about to, and kind of like dancing around the like fiance, does Newt have a fiance or not question. So yeah, so we'll get into scene 96, I guess, after a word from our sponsors, from us about our sponsors.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it. I stopped saying it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, C96. We're in the records room at night. The door is closed, plunging them into darkness. There's an extraordinary acre of shelves stretching away from them, all carved to look like trees. So they seem to be on the edge of a forest.
I will say that that's kind of tight.
Like, no, it is.
Yeah. I would love a book shelf library type situation where
it's a forest. Yeah, I have the same thought. I was like, I also don't have any recollection of this, so that me was my either. Other thing is I was like, this seems super tight.
Yeah, and I wonder what this looks like. Yeah. I've seen this movie, I still don't know what this looks like.
Literally was like, I wonder what it looks like, because I like, it's very much like if I was writing some shit, like I mean I'm not gonna steal it, but you know what I mean, like it's some stuff that I would come up with because it's tight, but again, no clue what it looks like. Pickett pokes his head out and is excited. He squeals in excitement.
Because trees.
And also, like, it's fucking lit. It's books in the tree. See, that's the last thing I'm going to say that's, like, good about this. So, mark it, you know? So then Tina says Lestrange. Nothing happens. So they set off weaving in and out of the carved shelves. Newt is like, about Lita. And then Tina says, yes, I've just said, I'm happy for you. And I'm just like, can you just let people, like, finish their sentence? Like, that's like, the main problem with this conversation is, like...
They keep talking over each other, but, like, he's obviously trying to say
something. And so it's been... But it's been this since they were out talking before Grindelwald did his little art exhibition. And so it's one of those things where it's, like, if we know... At this point, like, it's been driven home to us that there's been some kind of misunderstanding, and we understand that, and it doesn't have to, like, be... It's just like beating a dead horse, I guess.
Yes. Also, I will say that there is a... You're lying. You're not happy. I'm happy for you. No, you're not. You're not happy for him. You feel betrayed or whatever. So there's like this... Like, it's... I think what... Did you say this last week? Like, nope. This was a different discussion from a different podcast. But there is this like, keep calm, carry on, grin and bear it, chin up type of type of thing that is, like, stereotypically British, but also is just, like, not useful when you were talking or writing romance.
Yeah.
Because even the British, at a certain point, need to, like, be straight up with each other.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like...
You just gotta say what you gotta say. If you don't... If that's something you're interested in, if you really are just, like... Because, like, you know, I'd be having crushes with no interest in taking it any further than that. Like, I'm not trying to, like... Like, for why, right? So, like, if that's what you're trying to do, if you just, like, I mean, he cute or whatever, and that's it, cool.
Live your truth.
Also, like, you know what I mean? Like, do what you gotta do. But at this point, like, if you really are trying to pursue this, y'all gotta actually listen to each other. And you can't just, like, believe any old thing written in the paper. Like, write him. Be like, how dare you get engaged when you've been writing letters to me for a year or whatever the fuck. At least cuss him out.
Right?
Like, something. And then he can write back and be like, oh shit, nah.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened. Or even if he saw that thing and like, you ask him and he's like, oh, that was that? I didn't tell you because I thought it was dumb. And so... I didn't say anything.
It was written by Rita Skeeter. What was you thinking? Where are you at? Now, I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying, like...
Well, no, then I just started thinking. I was like, I mean, maybe Rita is, like...
A bajillion years old.
Yeah. She's, awesome as well. She's aging better than Flamel.
Yeah.
I mean...
A true statement. Okay, so let's get into this, like, top grade A romance, like, Jane Austen guard your loins, like, J.K. Rowling is coming for you!
Yeah. Maggie says this is truly a Hallmark Channel contrivance that the drama, could be solved by one conversation. And maybe that's what was happening, like, when she was writing this.
She was watching a lot of Hallmark movies. She was hanging out with my mama.
She was just like, yo, let's just, you know, mainline it. And then it, like, seeped into her. I don't think that's really what happened. Unless she just always watches Hallmark Channel. And that's how she, that's, like, where she gets her romance from. That could explain a lot.
Listen.
And, like, Hallmark movies have a time and place.
I love my mother. You know what I mean? But, like, those Hallmark movies can be addicting.
So
apparently.
I mean, you know, so I've heard. I've been told. So Tina's like, I'm happy for you. And Newt says, well, don't. Please don't be happy. And then he goes, no, I'm sorry. I don't. Obviously I want you to be. And I hear you are now, which is wonderful. Sorry. I just want to say Zuko did it better.
I wrote, like, this is the worst romance writing of her career. Congrats. What a feat. Because listen. We've talked about the romance in Harry Potter. I have mentioned this hug that spans ages in the Robert Galbraith books. And yet this...
is the worst.
This is the worst.
This was giving me mediocre Hello Zuko Here vibes. And so I was just like, no, it doesn't hit. it's a little too... bland for me. There are no spices, no fire flakes, so No sauce.
No spice.
And no so nothing. He's like, or yeah, he says, don't be happy that I'm happy because I'm not happy or engaged. And I'm just like, you spent, this is a waste of paper.
He is a writer.
This is a waste
of paper. I mean, I know that he's like a scientific writer and like that is not the same thing as spinning a narrative, but like he writes coherent sentences.
This is an entire page. Of him talking.
He just wrote a book.
And you could have just been like, she said, I'm happy for you. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not engaged. Mm-hmm. That would have took far less paper to write. And I just...
I never read Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
I was like...
But I never...
I was like, no, we just did that.
We just did it. No, the actual textbook that Newt did. I own it, and it was like cute, and I got the what's it called? The illustrated version, mm-hmm. and I've opened it, you know? But I never like sat down and like read his like narrative or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I assume that if it reads anything like this, no wonder he only had the one
book.
Well,
I mean, to be fair, like when you're writing something, it definitely can come out easier than...
I don't know, man.
Speaking, like, but at the same time, this is unnecessary. So Tina is like, what? And then Newt says, it was a mistake in the stupid magazine, which again, could have been, like, resolved pages ago. He explains that, like, it's his brother who's marrying Lita, and he's the best man, which is sort of mildly hilarious for some reason. And then Tina says, does he think you're here to win her back? And then she pauses and then says, are you here to win her
but
back?
But also win her back like,
from what? Back?
Did he tell her they were homies.
That's all we know. Like, maybe, yeah, like, there is some kind of underlying or was some kind of underlying thing, like, we see in the, like, flashback or whatever. But, like, that's not how their relationship is. And the other thing, too, is, like, it doesn't have to be. Like, it really could have just been Newt and Lita were homies at Hogwarts and like had this really close relationship and you know understood each other and all that kind of stuff without there being a romantic thing involved.
Lita falls
in love with his brother and it's awkward.
It's faulty. You stole my person.
The thing is it could be awkward, but it also if he would get over himself, because the other thing is like Newt has not gotten over himself with Theseus for a lot of other reasons. So if him and Theseus had a healthy relationship, it could be like lit. Now you're part of the family. We out here. You know what I mean? So I mean, I think it depends.
Ron and Harry,
right? Like it depends on the situation, but he could still, yeah, they could still have their own like. He could have his issues with it just on the strength of like that's my homie, and now you're like
sleeping with my homie.
That's awkward.
If my brother,
so it could go either way. But my main point is that it doesn't have to be romantic between them.
Yeah,
and all of the like. Like, even Tina, the way she's talking about it, even though she's mostly just making assumptions, and even the, like, lingering looks and the whoop-doo, like, all of that is giving us this, like, weird love square. Or not even a square, it's like a zigzag. That is, all of it is...
dumb.
Dumb, and, like, not even dumb, just, like, all of, again, no sauce. Like, the love zigzag, I don't mind it. Like, let people choose. Let's get messy, it's fine. But, like, how do you do this and it's not interesting? Like, I don't care about any of these relationships.
Yeah. You do that by being J.K. Rowling, because I have not cared about a single romantic relationship this woman has ever written. Mm.
I just accepted it passively until we started Wizard Team, and I was like, oh, but...
All of the Harry Potter romantic relationships that I care about were written by the fandom.
Yeah.
And that's, like, literally still only one of them. I only care about one of them. Two-ish. I do like Jilly. That's it.
I don't like what she did with them. But I'm just saying, like, it's a canon ship is what I mean.
Yeah.
Bianca says, I'm being silly. Men and women can't be friends without romantic feelings. And that's on me. You're right.
It's also, like... As a woman who always had to deal with, like, forced love zigzag triangle things, it's just so annoying that's, like, it's not innovative, I guess. It's boring.
Excuse me. So Newt says, "No, I'm here to." A beat, he stares at her and then says, "You know, your eyes really are." And then Tina's like, "Are what?" And he goes, "I'm not supposed to say." And so in my head, I'm like, "Oh, they're as green as a fresh pickled toad." but instead, so Pickett is climbing out of Newt's pocket onto the nearest shelf. Newt doesn't notice. And so it's this really awkward thing where, like, there's another pause. And then there's a lot of start and stops with their conversations. And it's I'm impatient.
Cute are they like, to be, they're so awkward.
At a certain point. Love. Yeah. And like, I think that, like, that can happen in a way that is interesting. But at this point, I just want one of them to get out their actual thought. Like, to just say the thing at this point. Because it's been a lot of the start and stops this whole time. And now I just need them to say it. So Tina says, "Newt, I read your book. And did you?" And then Newt, at the same time, says, "I still have a picture of you. Wait, did you read?" And so anyway, Newt pulls the picture of her out from the breast pocket, says that it's from the paper. So it's not like she sent it to him. It's not like...
said some stalker shit.
I'm like, it's not like... Because at first I was like, oh, I guess that's kind of cute, like, because of the times. And then I'm thinking of, like, Steve and Peggy and, like, how he has the, like, you know, compass with her picture in it. But, like, I'm pretty sure she gave him that picture. Meanwhile, he's just, like, clipping shit out the newspaper. And I just... ma'am.
Captain Benwick got a... your side.
Well, because because I read Imani's thing, and he says they have so much chemistry and charisma that you need the pauses to cool down the audience.
I'm cool.
Only thing warm about me is this heat pad on my back.
Ice cold. How cool? Ice cold is what I am. Okay. Let's continue. I don't even have it in me to finish my thought because of that. Thanks, Mommy.
So he has this picture and he says, "It's interesting because your eyes in newsprint, see, in reality, they have this effect in them. It's like fire in water, in dark water. And I've only ever seen that." And he's like struggling to say it. "I've only ever seen that in." And then Tina finishes the sentence and asks if, like, salamanders. And I'm confused because literally, as he's like explaining this, I'm like, is he trying to tell her that she's got like one of them water dragon parasites in her eye too? Like, that's what I was trying to make. I was like, oh shit, is it another creature? Because I am not following.
No, he's saying, like, this, like, feature in you is really compelling, and it speaks to my soul because it reminds me of this beast, and you know how I feel about beast is how I feel about
you. But he's saying that her eyes have, maybe because there's a sparkle in her eye, which, like, personally, I don't see it. This girl, flat as hell. But, like, she has a fire in dark water in her eyes, and, like, it would be nice if we weren't just being told that, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I also feel confused. Like you can't write lines like that in movies before you've cast the person. Because, like, she can't really do that. She can't give it. What's that Bowman thing? They can't give it to you. They can't serve what I'm serving.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what's going on right now.
Literally. Bianca says, to be fair, she stalked him in the paper, too. And Maggie says, mutual stalking is the new mutual to pining.
Respect and kinship? Oh.
Not true. Pining, but that'll also end as well. So then there's a loud bang. Somebody has entered the room. Tina and Newt go to hide. Real quick. I don't know why she would know that it was salamanders, but I guess maybe because she read the book. Is that supposed to be the point?
I think yes, and maybe because she loves him, so she's like taking
just,
on
they follow
some
each other's they
or she's reading more about like magic zoology so that they can have like, you know,
conversation.
Yeah, like I find the thing that you're interested in interesting because you're interested in it type of situation, which is cute, I guess. Okay. I wish I could, but I can't care.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Newt and Tina are hiding. Lita is in the doorway. She walks in desperate. this is her last chance to hide evidence about Corvus's death.
Who?
Who? This is literally the first time. Maybe, no, because I think Theseus said your brother, not Corvus. And then on top of that, it's one of those things where, like, again, it's not the first time this has happened in this particular book where they say something that there's no way you can convey without words on the screen. Mm-hmm. Like, her walking in, we would have no idea. We wouldn't be thinking or understanding that this is her last chance to hide evidence about Corvus's death. Like, that wouldn't be something that we
are able to, like, just
glean from her walking in. Yeah. Because she hasn't said nothing about Corvus or his death. And, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, I wrote who, and then I also said, like, if it's in here, why now? Like, why is now the time?
Yeah.
For her to go and find, if it's been in the records room in the French Ministry of Magic, like, why is now the only time she has to do it? And though, I guess the only reason is, like,
because plot. He's calling a rally, maybe?
Or because they think Credence is Corvus or some shit? Like, I don't
know. Does she know that they think that? Right?
She's not supposed to, because she's just...
Because...
She's not even...
Grindelwald doesn't think that. Kama thinks that.
Yeah.
And does she know who Kama is? Like, I think she
hasn't met Kama.
But I think Leta might know who Kama is. Like, that's her half-brother or whatever. So she probably may have met him before because of the interaction that comes later.
Mm.
But does she know that Kama is in Paris? Does she know that Kama is currently looking for him? Does she know about Kama's unbreakable vow or whatever? Like,
yeah.
And if she knows all that, you need to tell us that. But also, there's too much, like...
There's too much going on.
There's too much going on anyway. So, like, even the, like, it's her last chance to hide from Corvus. I'm like, who? Have we even heard of Corvus before?
No.
And if we have, I don't remember because there's too much shit going on.
And that's like, really the main problem. And it was, like, the thing in Fantastic Beasts where it was, like, hints of that being a problem. Where it was, like, okay, there are two different stories going on and at least a half a story that sort of follows into one but is really unnecessary, and that's the Muggles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What is that man's name? John Voight. So, like, it's like a 2.5 threads where you're like, I mean, two of them I follow, but they don't really have anything to do with each other. And another one that is kind of, like, dangling off. Whereas, like, this is, like, five different storylines, and then at the end they're like, oh, and here's another one, and then like, oh, we're gonna drop that one in there too, oh, we're gonna like sort of resolve this one that y'all didn't really care about, we're gonna resolve it and also open up more questions from it. So it's just like it's going on. Amani says that he didn't pay attention and that Kyle was supposed to be her brother. Oh, you're not supposed to know that yet. We'll find out next week. So, you know, spoiler heavy or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, in terms of
her, there's no real reason, I guess, unless Theseus just be telling her everything, in which case, like, shit.
Sign or.
Yeah, like, just promote her. Like, what? So Leta says Lestrange, the shelves begin to move because she is a Lestrange. There's an angle on Melusine, who was, like, the records room, like, guard or whatever the fuck, who let them in. And she's watching through the doors. The giant trees are shifting around Newt and Tina. They're almost crushed as the Lestrange tree flies towards them. They hop onto a shelf. So this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But again, I would have no way of knowing because I don't remember what the fuck it looked
like. I don't remember any of this.
Like, I would have no... I think what happened is I kind of like... I think I just...
Zoned out.
That has to be what it is because... I'm good at sometimes, like, forgetting things. Mm-hmm. Like, I pretty much forget all that we say on Wizard Team until, like, somebody brings it up. And I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you what we talked about last week. Unless it's, like, particularly memorable, like, yeah. Nicholas Flamel or something.
When we be just cracking when we be up.
Yeah, when we, like, make ourselves laugh, then I remember those things. But generally, I don't remember other stuff. But I think I had to have not really been paying attention at this point, because I think
that's part of it, but I also wonder about, like, it just was nonsensical at a certain point, you know what I mean? So it's like, do you you don't remember it because everything was so garbled and moving fast and stuff like that.
And
so
I do remember like you weren't paying
attention, but it's like you're paying attention to like 50 billion moving parts.
Right.
So the details don't stick because it's not like this happened and then this, that affects like, it's not like if A then B or, you know, like a linear, it's not, it is actually not a linear story because there's no linear like through point.
Yeah. They started off with everybody's looking for credence and now it's like they are, but nobody knows why. And everybody has a different reason. And he ain't even found out any information that he came to Paris for. Anyway, so there's an empty shelf that confronts her, a mark in dust where the box sat, a slip of parchment in its place, and it says, records moved to Lestrange family tomb. But my thing is like, why? By who? Like, so we
and
saw...
And also, you're moving records to a mausoleum? Tomb.
One, why? Two, like, and then if that's the case, like, why is it... Because I think, like, we see, because I think we figured this out last, episode, that it was like Grindelwald's acolytes who took it.
Oh, right.
Because that's like how they're gonna talk to Credence about whatever the
fuck. Why would they even fucking know?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Cause, and then on top of that, like, if Tina couldn't walk in there, say Lestrange, and get the thing, I assume that means, and then Leta could, I assume that means it's like a blood thing. Yeah. And so how were his acolytes, are they related to her or something? Or like, how are they?
They got insight into the ministry.
Or do they, like, have to confund the shit? Like, so it just doesn't really make sense how this happened. And then if the acolytes stole it, why would they then say where they took it?
Because it's a trap? Maybe the thought is that, like, if Credence got there, if Credence is following along, figuring out who he is, then he would see that note. Not Leta? I don't know.
But no, because but Credence isn't going to fucking Ministry of Magic anything.
Why would... How? Why?
Because he can't even use magic.
Magic.
So I just, it doesn't make sense. Again, it's just, it's a way to get everybody to the tomb in order to do the rally. Like, they're just like.
Which, they can all and just I think that's go the other to the
reason,
rally.
I think that's the other reason I'm like, it was hard for me to remember these things. Because it's really like, everything feels like, the whole plot just feels like, oh, I'm taking this character and putting them where I need them to be. And yes. Like, I'm taking, like, you can just feel the strings being pulled as they get to, like, where they need to be. And so it's not really working. So Leta spots Picket, and then says Circumrota, which the tower turns.
Is that a new spell?
I don't know. I don't care. Every time I see a new spell, I say K. Like, I remember I used to be excited about seeing new spells, and now I'm just like,
nah.
All right. So the record tower turns, revealing Newt and Tina. Leta's like, hello, Newt. And then, you know, Newt's like, hi, whatever. Tina says hi. And then awkwardly, but kindly. Which I guess because now she knows they're not engaged, so she's like, it's cool, we cool. At that moment, Melusine enters the records room surrounded by growling Madagots.
Those are beasts number 13. I also, though... It might 13 may sound like, oh, there's some beast in here. I had to go back pages and pages upon pages to figure out what the last numbered beast was. Mm-hmm. And a large, like, beast 8 through 11 were all in that, like, circus thing, and you're just passing by them. So you have no idea. There's no what they are.
Mm-hmm. So Newt says, oh, no. Leta says, what kind of cats are those? The Newt explains that the Madagots are spirit familiars and that guard the ministry, and they won't hurt you unless you. Panicking, Leta fires a spell at one of them, says Stupefy. It causes the Madagots to multiply and become even more aggressive. Which, again, Naruto, reminds me of this, like, summoning dog that Pain summoned, and then as soon as you hit it, it would split, and then it just was like this one dog with like 9 heads. She was crazy.
Wow.
Also
though, I like the idea of like Newt knowing and like those are Madagots, they're spirit familiars. Mm-hmm. But I also really remember that J.K. Rowling said in regards to Mrs. Norris that there are no familiars. There are no animal familiars in her world. And it's cool if a couple of years later you're writing something new and you change the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But Then was Miss Norris a Madagot? No, because she didn't look like, she looked like just a cat. Mm-hmm. Are only cats spirit familiars? Or can other animals be spirit familiars? Are these specific Madagots always spirit familiars? And then is it one Madagot? And are they familiar to Mrs. Millicene? Mm-hmm. Madame Millicene? Are they familiar to the Ministry of Magic? And can you have a familiar that's a familiar to a building?
Literally no clue. Also, again, do not remember what this scene looks like.
Me neither.
Even a little bit. And so I now picture the Madagots as the summoning dog from Naruto.
I picture them as Lion Cat from Saga. Mm. But I picture all cats in fiction as Lion Cat from Saga until proven otherwise.
So then Newt says, unless you attack them. And then Lita's like, oops. She climbs over the balustrade, to join Newt and Tina on the shelf stack. But I don't understand why she's running when she's legit. Right? Like, she came in and was like, hey, Melusine, I'm Lita Lestrange. And Melusine was probably like, oh, that's crazy, because there was another Lita Lestrange. And then she goes in and she says Lestrange, and the shit works. And Melusine sees that shit work. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, the other one must be an imposter, so let me go get my Madagots. But why would Lita see the Madagots and not be like, damn, sucks to suck, I'm gonna be out? Because she's not like she even goes to help. Like, she don't really know what to do. Like, there was no reason for her to attack them. She could have just been like, well, I'm gonna go find my fiance.
I
mean,
I think it's probably like a Hermione type of situation where it's like, oh, Harry got himself into some shit again, and so I'm gonna save Newt. Like, off top, oh, these things are here, it's probably because you did something, and now I have to make sure that you don't die. I think. But I'm not confident in that. But
it doesn't really make sense.
Does any of it really make sense?
No, but like,
so, you know. This is where we are now. This is where we live. We live in it doesn't really make sense.
Okay, so anyway, Lita says, Reverte, the towering sack, flies backwards at the Madagots.
Is that a new
pounce.
Spell, too? And is that dude just, like, the opposite of what Circumcircula did? And, like, why? Why can't you just do it?
Oh, the I don't know.
Circumventio?
No, I think she was, like, trying to topple it over.
Circumrota. And then Reverte.
I think it's supposed to be, like, not reducto. I don't know. She's trying to, like, it's like Expelliarmus, but not for wands. I don't know that to be true. I just made that up, actually. So anyway, the Madagots pounce in a terrifying ebony surge of teeth.
Unnecessary. Also, she doesn't describe the Madagots. So are they black?
Apparently. They're a terrifying ebony surge of teeth and claws.
Racism.
The ebony trees of the records room spin and move as Tina, and Lita run through the room chased by the Madagots. Then the records room towers retract into the floor. The Madagots prowl towards where their prey must surely be standing, only to find Newt's case. Angle on the case from above. A beat. An explosion as the Zulu bursts out of the case, Newt clinging to its back. So again, with the animal endangerment, this is just like the swooping
evil
shit in the last one. Swooping evil?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't swooping. It was swooping.
You're thinking of the swooper.
The swooper, see? My fault. The swooping evil in the last one where he was just throwing that shit like a yo-yo. Yeah.
But also, like, he captured the Zulu 15 minutes ago, and he's trained the Zulu to, like, or he knows how to control it. Like, he's tamed this leaping, it's a movie, that happens in movies, I guess.
But it still doesn't make any fucking sense, because when would he have had time to do that? We've been running around using spare polyjuice potion he found in the dregs of his goddamn,
coat.
Like, I just... Ugh, Nicole just popped in, so she's trying to figure out where we at. She said they got the part of the script where they're in a library or some shit, and then somehow in a cemetery, right? And like, yes, actually, because we're about to be there when I was like, well, how the fuck did we get here? Anyway, and not just like, how did we get here? Nobody's supposed to be here, but like, literally, I also wrote that,
I'm assuming she operated, but they have shown every single
apparition, so I don't think that happened.
And it just literally was like she turned the corner and we were in
another place. That's crazy. Okay, so Newt summons his case And then the Zuwu and Newt vanish under the seething mass of cats. They fight them off. The Zuwu's immense power unmatched. Red tail swishing. And I'm just like, this thing is like still, I just feel like, wouldn't it still be traumatized from all the shit it went through? Like, yes. Why would it now be ready to be fighting cats?
Because she needs it to. Because she said it is time.
Yep. Fantastic Beasts and all the plot holes they fill. Or more like plot corners they write. Like, they help me write myself out of. So Newt points his wand at the ceiling, says Ascendio. The towers rise once more from the floor, lifting Newt and the Zuwu high up in the air, which I don't understand how the fuck that works either, because aren't they trees and now there's like a big ass cat on some branches? Lifting you into the... Anyway, still fighting off the Matagots as the stacks tip and fall beneath the sheer weight. The Zuwu clambers across to the... Apparently there's a balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scene 97, a minute later.
Do you know, I'm thinking about the poor set designer who's reading this.
And it's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
There's a balcony!
Wait!
Oh, and a glass ceiling! Let me go back and redraw this whole thing!
Like, what? Like, you tell me there's this forest, and now it can all go down, and then when it pushes back up, if you're in the forest, if you're in the room while it's not pushed up,
in the room where it happens.
You can get... Now you're all of a sudden you're at the top of the trees instead of just like they don't rise around you, and then they can also topple over because they're bookshelves, not actual trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a balcony that will help Newt get out of this somehow.
Yes. What are you not understanding?
So,
and we need it by Wednesday.
Okay. And then C97, the Matagots give chase as the Zuwu gallops out of the room, leaving injured and thwarted Matagots in its wake. But how do you injure them? Because wouldn't they just, like, don't they multiply?
But also, so there's, I was trying to figure this out, too. Because is it like, Naruto did this thing where he makes those clones.
The shadow clones? Well, yeah. I wasn't thinking of it as that. I was thinking it more of like a Hydra. Like, you cut off one head and one, more, two more grow in its place. But that's what it felt like. And that's the same with, like, the dogs in Naruto in this particular. They only show up, like, two times. But, you hit them, they multiply, and then, like, but they could also, like, fuse back together or whatever. And so in my head, and I just don't remember what this looked like on screen, but to me, it's like, if you attack them, and they multiply, and they're like, oh, now it's really on, then when you attack them again, shouldn't they, like, keep multiplying? Maybe there's, like, a limit, in which case, like, cool, but I just was confused by that.
Confused by this whole thing.
And the Zuwu...
I didn't read it like that. I read it like a magical shadow clone situation. Mm. Like the cup, when he was, you know, when he touched the cup in the vault, it replicates.
Geminio.
The
Zuwu carves a path of destruction through the ministry. It takes one last leap over the typing pool, and its immense magical power propels it up and out of through the glass roof. The Ukrainian... Iron Belly did this better. She's just taking it's the same. It's the breakout of Gringotts shit. And and they didn't even get any fucking information or any tools. They don't have anything. So they're doing all this shit for literally nothing. And it's so irritating because I'm like, we still have learned nothing. Like, all these little places you sending us to go and go find some information, and ain't no information there in every single place we've gone.
Yep. I don't understand.
Why I don't understand?
Why you don't understand.
Right.
That's the part. That's it. That's the thing.
All right. Well, C98. We're in a cemetery now.
I love this, though. Newt and the Zuwu land in the cemetery.
And I'm like, from the balcony? Or from the...
But also,
like, glass...
Imagine that your city hall, that the White House...
Also,
is around the corner.
Like, time out. Pause. How are they crashing through the glass roof when the way that you get into the ministry is through the little, like, birdcage shit that it's the trees that pull you underground.
Oh, my God.
And now suddenly there's a glass roof that you can crash out of. And not to say that, like, you know, it's a Ministry of Magic, so I'm sure it's very large. But it's all underground. So are you saying that there's just some, like, sunroof somewhere in the ministry that somehow you could crash out of there and everybody's like, well, what the fuck happened to this random glass thing that's just in the middle of Paris? Just the glass.
Maybe it's like a glass. It looks like a glass floor. Like,
just in the middle of outside of Paris.
Yeah, you know, like a art installation type of situation.
And now, all of a sudden, and so they jumped out of that. So really, they just jumped to ground level. They have
a glass pyramid outside of the Louvre. This is a pyramid made of glass, and it's just there. Some famous sculptor or whatever did it, but it's just there.
I'm confused. And now, so basically, they crashed out of this thing, mm-hmm. and now they're in the cemetery. And, like, mm-hmm. it could be a time lapse. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's cut so abruptly that, like, it doesn't make sense. And Nicole says they did it to get to the magical tomb where they somehow eventually get to Grindy's little function.
Yeah.
And then Maggie says, I don't know about you, but I love having my place of work overlooking a cemetery.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the Ministry of Magic is... It's basically like you crash out of the roof of the White House and you end up in Arlington. Because right. also the cemetery is supposed to be like... The Lestranges are not getting buried in just some like no-name random cemetery, right? Yeah. So it's supposed to be... And it looks like some, you know... Not prestigious, but you know, like a consecrated, like... What is the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say worship, but like a serious place where people go to like reflect and mm-hmm. and commune with the dead and all that stuff, like it's like underneath, and if the ministry is underground and it's right next to the cemetery, then are you like working next to bodies?
Shit stinks, but I mean they let Nicholas Flamel walk around here dead, so I think they might just be cool with
their tolerance for
Nicole says that
decomposition is high.
Nicole says it's not a time lapse. They just be at the cemetery because she remembers yeah. this part of the movie. I really do not remember, but I believe you because I really turned the page and was like, oh, like how so Newt and Zulu and the Zulu land in the cemetery.
I mean, the Zulu can jump, right? That's, like, part of
with,
it.
Wait, oh, right. So, with one gigantic leap, the Zulu has taken them to freedom. It literally says that.
It does say to freedom.
It does say to freedom. I hope when you edit this, you just put, like, bomb sounds every time we say to freedom. To freedom! Okay, so I guess because it's the Zulu when they do the leap shit.
Yeah.
I don't like that. It's too convenient.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what it is. Because I think he does do that earlier. But we see him take... directly after Newt says, like, the Zulu can do that thing. So you see him do the thing and you're like, okay, cool, I guess. But, like, now we haven't seen it in a while. So it just seems like... I don't know, maybe, and I don't necessarily want to see it, like, soaring through the air, because that shit would look super dumb, but, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So a few Madagots, oh, but apparently there are some Madagots that have been able to follow them?
Yep.
Can they also take gigantic leaps to freedom?
Yep.
To freedom!
I just thought that they, like, caught a ride.
Right, maybe they just, like, hung on.
To
the paw, like, nah, y'all ain't finna get us. Are we finna get you? And then the few of them that have followed growl and then shrink, and they're now reduced to the size of domestic cats in muggle environments. So then, really, there's no point in them following them if you just gonna get there and now all of a sudden you can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
They're like weeping angels, though.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like, could have been cool.
Yeah.
If I cared, but by this point, I didn't care.
Mm-mm. So Newt opens a case as the Zulu nudges him with affection, which I guess now the Zulu likes Newt.
Yeah, they go together.
Newt has just been using him.
I'll free you. He put me in another cage.
And I guess because he can roam free, he doesn't have like a cage.
I guess.
But. I don't know. Now I feel like where's like the Hotep Zulu's like you still locked up, fam? Like somebody
Amani.
Teach the Zulu to love himself, and you know.
We go, Amani and Bianca.
Stop this, this! Stop the wizard supremacy. So, Lita and Tina climb out of the case to observe Newt coaxing the Zulu. Tina shakes the catbird toy that she's retrieved from the case. The Zulu's eyes light up. Unnoticed by Newt and Tina, Lita runs away into the darkness. So what's the point of her going with them? I guess because she suddenly now she wants to be in the cemetery. Because yep. I guess we've taken the one leap. And so she's like, oh, I'm where I need to be. But it's the same thing as Kama, where they like, oh, we're going to take Kama. And then you, like, ignore him. And now he ran off on his own.
Yep.
Again. Anyway.
It does not matter.
That's it.
That is.
We're done. So, who is your MVP?
Hmm?
Yeah, I know.
No one. I can't. Nothing.
Mine is wine, because that's what I didn't have any. I don't have any right now, because that required that I would have to go downstairs, and that's not happening at the moment. But, I did have some when I was reading.
Initially reading this.
And that helped.
I could see that. Yeah. I'm going to have some chocolate cake.
Mm.
So that's going to be great.
Mm.
That can help.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I don't think nobody has an MVP. Nobody said anything yet. And I asked them kind of late. Benched. Who's benched?
I feel like it's got to be Newt and Tina for not talking to each other when they could just have had that conversation. Lita for shooting first, asking questions later. Don't just be like shooting at animals.
Yeah, especially you don't know shit. And you're not in trouble.
Right.
Like of the three of y'all, you're actually fine.
Yeah.
Amani MVPs Robin for the birthday week festivities. Oh. Nicole MVPs the Zuwu for, you know, going to freedom.
To freedom! He did go to freedom.
And then got locked up again. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like,
love yourself.
Love yourself. You know what I mean?
Uncolonize your mind.
That's what I'm
Zuwu.
Saying. He got a lot of internalized anti Zuwu oppression that he needs to interrogate.
Mm-hmm. You don't need them. They need you.
Exactly. They only call on you when they need you. They just using you all up and through this little plot.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of pocket. Just say no. I benched Newt, but because he's just using the Zuwu whenever, and also because, like, just
putting him in unnecessary
you can be
danger.
It's okay to, like, be awkward and to, like, not really, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, and this isn't really on him, it's really JK Rowling, because there are more ways to show that someone is having, like, problems communicating in a way that's, like, actually interesting, as opposed to just saying the same old shit over and over again. On top of the fact that both of them are so lukewarm, like, milk toast, like, I just do not care. No sauce, no spice, no
seasoning.
No nothing. Not even any salt.
Mm-mm.
Even some salt would have helped a little bit.
Salt. Imagine
it's just
like,
boiled. That's what it is.
It's boiled.
Romance.
Also, if Tina was right, even though she could have just done a quick, I don't know, with a
Google search.
if Tina was right, she had all the rights to be salty. You know, mm-hmm. So she was within her rights to be salty, and we could have enjoyed that, but yeah. We didn't even get that.
Nope. Oh, real quick, Latte also MVP'd the Zuwu, saying it's her second favorite magical beast of the Wizarding World.
What's your first? Let us know in the comments.
Mm-hmm. Nicole also MVPs the bird thing from the first movie who lets everybody forget.
Frank, where you at, Frank? Save us.
Who
Save
did you bench?
Us. I benched Newt and Tina and Lita.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry.
All right.
Latte benches JK. She just came in, has no idea what's happening, but it's on brand. Which,
yep.
You know,
you're
honestly, works. Bianca benches this plot that she can't follow. Maggie benches J. Karen for being trash and making everything trash so that a cool concept like a forest library is something that will probably never see the light of day in Universal Parks. Right, exactly. Latte says Thestral is her first.
Oh,
like
good
that.
One. I
that
like that.
That's a good one.
It's a good choice.
I
love a Thestral. Speaks to my gothic soul.
Cool. So, thanks for listening. Next week, we'll be...
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz's daughter is my MVP.
Oh.
Because she's in the house playing the organ. when she's in their funeral chic. Love it. Chic.
All right. Cool. Thank you for listening. Next week, we will be discussing scenes 99 through 110 of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Spoiler, it don't get no better.
No, the next chapter is, next section is real Leta heavy. So we'll get to talk about that fun racism and other things. Racism, etc. Racism and stuff.
At all.
Racism and co.
There we go.
Make sure to follow along. Let us know who you think is the real MVP and who has been for the chapter. And just your general thoughts. Join the conversation on Twitter at @BlackGirlsCreate, #WizardTeam. And yeah.
Bye.
Bye.